tuned into Tampa Bay's RBLR Sports.
Hi, hello. How are you doing? Hello to everyone who is a Tampa Bay Sun fan, and I hope everyone who is a Fort Lauderdale fan is having a terrible day.
Hopefully they tune in to figure out why their team is so bad. Yeah. And then they just get to hear us roast them for an hour. But I highly doubt that's the case. But, you know.
Hello. Oh, no, we're going to roast them for an hour.
I'm saying that.
Yeah. Yes.
So hello to any Fort Lauderdale fans, and I'm not sorry for what we're about to do to you.
My name is Liz. This is JD. He's special to the pod. JD, how are you doing?
My special jersey that I finally own now. I'm good. I had a nice little vacation this weekend. I thought we were playing Trinity over in Dallas. I got the schedule mixed up. They were in Fort Lauderdale, but I stayed in Dallas anyways. I went to a Counter-Strike tournament. Just kidding. I was there for that the whole time. So now I got back yesterday. I ate fantastic food the whole time I was there. We were actually in Fort Worth. I don't want any Fort Worth heads to get mad at me for saying I was in Dallas. But it was a really good time. I did get to watch the game. Thank you to Upper 90 on Magnolia in Fort Worth. That was the name of the bar that I called. And everyone was like, this is the best soccer bar in Fort Worth. And they were pretty good. And I wanted to share that it's kind of funny. They have a huge one whole wall as a projector. I had the NBA playoffs on. I couldn't get them to put the Sun game on. I get it. There were already people in the bar watching the NBA game when we walked in. So, you know, no complaints, I guess. But it has Tottenham scarves and flags all over the whole wall. And they're clearly a Tottenham bar. And all the scarves are from all the different like chapters of Tottenham supporters in the US. And we were talking to the bartender, and he was like, hey, if Tottenham get relegated this year, which they're one spot above relegation right now, if Tottenham get relegated this year, and he points to the back wall and there's like four Bayern Munich flags, he's like, this becomes a Bayern Munich bar. He's like, I'm taking all this shit.
Amazing.
So we can only hope that Bayern Munich bar Upper 90 gets to finally fulfill its full potential instead of having to be a Tottenham bar for much longer. But yes, thank you very much to them. I figured if they do Premier League, they have Peacock. It was an easy sell. I think we should all call more bars and ask them if they have Peacock and see if they'll put a game on for us, because maybe they will, and we'll get one measly TV in the corner next to 10 screens of NBA playoffs. How are you doing, Liz?
I'm pretty good. I have a cat that if you were watching while JD was talking, I showed. But of course, she's being camera shy.
Yes. Mona is right here, but I'm not sure she'll make an appearance. I think I have my microphone here, and so I think since I've started putting the microphone here, the cats have felt less welcomed on the desk. I feel bad about
it. I cannot say the same of Izzy. She does not care what's on the desk. She's like, oh, the desk has any tiny centimeter of space, I go there.
She will mute you at will. So
yes. Yeah.
Liz, we played a game.
We sure did.
And it went fine. It went well, actually, I would say.
Yeah. It went exactly how we wanted it to.
And that's rare. So, yeah. You know, yes. Forgive us for basking in it a little bit.
Yeah. The Sun played Fort Lauderdale last Saturday. We won 2-1. It could have been more, honestly. I think at least at one point I said it could have been 3-1. And like, spoiler alert on the stats, we have 20 shots for this match. It's kind of ridiculous.
My 3-0 prediction didn't seem that crazy when it was all said and done. So, and it was a penalty for them. So,
yeah. Yeah.
You know,
JD watched this in a bar. I watched this at the Rowdies game. But I half like three quarters watching the Sun and then one quarter watching the Rowdies, because the Rowdies I'm less worried about. Let's be real. They're still undefeated. They're doing great. Good for them. Yes. However, the Sun, I was genuinely concerned that if I did not watch it, that would affect the outcome. Do I know that that's crazy? Yes, I do. Do I care? Not at all.
Are you superstitious, Liz?
A little bit.
Okay. That's fair.
that? Okay, I thought Izzy was sitting on it. So we had a lineup again, as always. Disclaimer, disregard the lineup that they show on the TV because it's always wrong and I don't understand, quite frankly, because they always put Nocello on the wrong side.
Question mark. The commentators know too, by the way. The commentators will immediately say, like, they're playing with the back three, they're playing with the wing backs, they're doing that. It's like they know how it's supposed to be. Obviously, the lineups are submitted and somebody at production, USL production, puts it together for the graphic, but come on. It's like the same as last week almost. So, like, you know, just watch our podcast and then we'll tell you what the lineup is.
Yeah, we'll tell you what the lineup is. We'll tell you all about the game. You don't have to watch the game. Although, actually, there's a couple of, there's at least one clip that you have to go back and watch because it's, you should have heard me at the Rowdies game. George, one of my friends, was in front of me, and he just kept laughing, listening to me react to the match, especially Fort Lauderdale and their diving team that they should add to their repertoire of sports teams.
Yes. It makes more sense than a Carolina diving team, though, when we were, when at least they're on the water is what I'm getting at, you know, so.
All right, so we had Connors up top. We had Nocello and Giamona right behind her. We had a midfield of Listro, Helferty, and Haugen, and a back line of McNeil, Hendricks, Bissett, Chisholm, with Liz Beardsley in goal. On the bench, we had Sienna Bryan, Sandrine Gaillard, Maddie Picorni, Provenzano, Shimkin, Weber, Wegner.
Yes, no Parsons. No Parsons. Jinx. When will it end? We don't know. Are they being punished? Did they get up to twin hijinks together like a early 2000s Disney Channel original movie and they're being punished? Who's to say? We don't know. So, yeah. But I'm not mad at how this team performed. So maybe
I'm not mad, but I.
Yeah.
It could have been better.
Yeah, that's true. Also, I want to slightly modify your lineup because I just noticed it. Haugen's playing the wingback role and Chisholm's playing as a center back. So it is a back five. Hendricks, Bissett, Chisholm, three back. And then McNeil and Haugen are getting forward kind of in the wing positions.
You can always edit.
They do. I know. I didn't see it till now. but they do pivot a little bit. Like they do move around a little bit. But yeah, Haugen has.
No, you're right. Yeah.
Kind of tight to the right side.
Yeah. You're right. Haugen was really. Hauling ass this match.
I do like, though, just a note on like the overall development of the team this spring. I do like that we've tried different combinations of like McNeil, Bissett, Hendricks, and Chisholm in the back four as the two primary center backs, and we settled on Hendricks, Bissett, and Chisholm being our best three center backs for two positions, and we were like, well, we can just play three center backs and then we play all three of them in that position. So that is like a nice, cause they had Chisholm, you know, playing as like the right back, essentially not as a wing back. She wasn't getting forward. I think Haugen plays that role better. And Chisholm, it still does a great job at covering that side, but as a center back, she's got that dog in her. We talked about before where she really gets in there and isn't afraid to get physical. Every once in a while, unfortunately, gets a penalty awarded to the other team. But overall, her contributions outweigh one goal. So definitely like that we like settled on this system to work with the players we have. I feel like that was like a good adaptation that the lineup had like developed getting a little bit later into the spring. Now we're real late in the spring.
So starting off with the match, fourth minute, thank God, Fluted can't shoot for shit. Locklear was coming in with Bissett right behind her, but she crosses it over and Kat Gonzalez just absolutely skies it.
Yeah, totally should have had a goal here. It was free. It was a great open shot. I mean, obviously keeper could have stepped in, but she didn't even need to. Yeah, I think Locklear's pass here was really good. I mean, if I was a Fort Lauderdale fan, never would be, I would be very frustrated with how this ended up because she just completely skies it, like you said.
It's I was just thinking about all the jokes we were making, Mike and I, during the match about how bad Fort Lauderdale is. Because at some point you start dissecting the other team and you're like, why are you doing that? What?
Yeah. And they have good players on their team too. So yeah. It's just, I mean, it's great. It's sad to see good players rot when they could come to Tampa Bay.
6 minute, Nocello takes a foul. I thought this was funny because she took like 4 yards to fall. She like, it's almost cartoonish how she falls.
Yeah. She kind of falls. I don't know if she falls over the ball or right onto it, but it always makes me wince when a player falls directly onto the ball.
She didn't fall onto the ball.
Okay. I guess she fell next to it, but
yeah,
it does happen. This though, we took a pretty solid free kick and Bissette gets a good header on it. I really like Viv coming in and using her height to get up to it. And Craig has to save it. I think it's the first save of the match, like technically. And it was just nice to have movement, like have a free kick that didn't immediately go out. Like it got into a good spot. We got a player there. We got a shot on it, you know, or a header from it. That does not feel like it's happened a lot. So I wanted to highlight that it did actually happen in the first 10 minutes of this game. And it kind of set the tone, I would say, for us putting things together, completing passes, you know, completing ideas, taking a free kick, getting a header. Like I liked a lot of that pretty early on.
Yeah. A couple minutes later, 8th minute, we have some good work from Haugen. She takes the ball into the attacking third, plays it to Nocello, who does Nocello things. And she passes it back to Haugen, who runs down to the end line and crosses it into Giamona, who just barely misses.
Yeah.
This is foreshadowing.
Giamona rocked this game. That's my take. Yeah. She was goal hungry for sure. And also there were just a bunch of chances in this first 10 minutes, 15 minutes or so, that we just had crosses into the box from like a workable area. We weren't getting shut down. We weren't back passing. We were like advancing our attacking plays. And I felt like this was very promising. Much more than the last couple games. Of course, we're playing Fort Lauderdale, so there's like a grain of salt under everything we say, because they're now the last place team in the league, hopefully, for the rest of the season. And while we absolutely deserve to be down there too, the ideas that we're putting together really showed themselves in the first like 15 minutes of this game that we were looking pretty good.
Yeah, I have to say, I know they take every match seriously, but like, I'm glad that the new folks on the team like understand like how serious this match is.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I will say actually, we also didn't look that different from how we looked against Carolina. And that is consistent with how you and me felt after the Carolina game where we lost, but we liked what we saw, you know, when our team was doing good, there was a little bit of formation shift. You know, we brought Hailfordy into the midfield and things like that. And like, we didn't look that much different than that. It's just Fort Lauderdale's a worse team. So I think that backs up everything that we thought we saw last week in terms of the quality of the players and the passing lanes that are open and the systems that they're trying to work in. And it just manifests better against a team that defends worse, I guess, you know, but it's something else to continue to build on, you know?
14th minute, Chisholm gets an early yellow. It's deserved. Oh, well. Little early. Makes me slightly worried, but that's okay. The resulting shot that Fort Lauderdale gets is terrible, and Beardsley has it covered, which is kind of a overlying theme for this match.
Yeah.
19th minute. This one was a funny one. Nocello chips the ball over a Fort Lauderdale player and then nutmegs her and just leaves her in the dust. It was, as it happened, I was like, oh.
She just, she heard that I said that she wasn't very effective in our last game. And she was like, I'm pulling out all the stops. They're going to get a show this time. And she was definitely back on her bullshit in a positive and productive way rather than kind of a wasteful way. I liked her contributions this game. A bit later, though, in the 26th minute, we almost played it out the back, gone wrong. There was just a resistance from us to get it up the left side of the field from the back. So Hendricks, Haugen, are doing this like passing work to try and get it up the right. Look, we can ask Sabrina McNeil to run forward sometimes if we're not finding an open lane. They did like two or three forward and backward, and then almost fumbled it and gave them, you know, a great opportunity to run kind of into our box. And thankfully, you know, they didn't convert on anything and we ended up getting it back. But why are we not, you know, if we don't find success on like the first two attempts trying to go up the right again, I know sitting the cells over there, that's very tempting. Let's shift the play. You know, we don't need to be playing, you know, back and forth right in front of our box and just asking them to press us and close that down. I will say though that Sabrina McNeil was not able to get very forward this game. And I do want to credit Shanai Gordon for that. She was on her ass constantly in terms of just shutting her down almost in the midfield, not even like in an attacking way. And Sabrina very rarely crossed, the midfield to get into the attacking part. Whereas on the other side, we had Giamona and Nocello doing more, you know, contributions and moving it a little bit more. I just wish she had more help on the left there, but that is credit to Shanai Gordon. She did a lot of work, and I don't want to just say McNeil wasn't able to get forward. Someone was stopping her. So, but yeah, I am glad that ultimately this didn't lead to anything, but let's not just pass it around the back. Even if you have to boot it up front just to get it cleared, please.
29th minute to like the 32nd minute. We have some good attacking plays by Carly Giamona, but all shots are caught by the keeper.
Yeah. Yeah. She.
A lot of shooting directly at the middle of the goal.
Yeah. She wanted one in the sequence. She wanted one this whole game.
But could you shoot like slightly to the left of the keeper, maybe?
At this point, she was just happy to get a foot on it because at least two of these also were from outside of the box. So she's just kind of booting it from where she can and get what she can on it, which is respectable. I also noticed in this specific sequence, I think it was the very first one that you're referencing in the 29th minute, she gets the ball and the back line kind of pulls up, not exactly an offside trap, but just like not allowing anyone to get in. And Shea Connors doesn't make a run to get through, and Carly doesn't have an option for a through ball. And I thought this was interesting because Faith Weber would have done that. And I think Maddie Parsons probably would have done that. Like a striker would have done that. And that's part of why I find it interesting that we're playing Connors at striker, or we at least did this game, because while she definitely has goal scoring instinct, she stayed back. And that's why Carly took the shot, is she didn't have that option of getting a through ball or doing one more pass to try and get the keeper to make some steps and open up a side of the net or anything like that. And I feel like that's where a lot of those opportunities come from. It's like, if you're just shooting dry from outside of the box without having worked any play around it, the keeper is going to feel like it's right to the keeper because they have a lot of time to get in front of it and react to it. Whereas if Shea is making a run, then the keeper might have to keep, you know, one eye on the, you know, possibility of a through ball while they also have to, you know, stay open to the possibility of, you know, a longer shot. And I think Carly was just taking the longer shots because she wasn't given an option. So I thought that was interesting too. This goes to support kind of my overarching thought that I would like to see Shea Connors up the left and still see Faith Weber in the middle as a striker. Partly because we're a little bit weak on the left, and then partly just because I think Faith makes those runs that challenge the keeper a little bit more, because Carly can shoot all day and she did have four shots this game, but you want it to go in and you want to, you know, somehow trick the keeper to accomplish that. So but all that said, full credit to Carly Giamona for having that instinct and really pushing forward this game, and spoilers, I'm glad she was awarded later on for it as well.
This is one that is, in my opinion, worth going back and watching. In the 33rd minute, Kiara Locklear, it's a whole sequence of play where she almost falls earlier, by the way, and she manages to like stumble a little bit and pick herself back up. But then, I kid you, 15 seconds later, maybe, she gets like a tap after losing the ball to Nocello, and she goes down like her ankles have been cleared out. Oh, I was hearing something.
Oh, sorry.
No, that was you. And I was like, I thought it was something behind me. I forgot I have earbuds in. Yeah, it's absolute captain of the diving team. It was so ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, that's why we have the diving flags in the heat wave section. If you've never seen them, we just want to make sure that, you know, when players are out there diving, that the boats can see them at the top. Yeah. So we wave the diving flags around so they don't get run over out there. Yeah. Fort Lauderdale does have a pretty talented diving team. I will say that much. In the 34th minute, it might have been from like this, the sequence after you were just talking about. Hey, get Liz Beardsley some sticky gloves, please. I get Instagram ads for the gloves that are like, they like do the mm-hmm. clap and they like peel apart and it's all makes me feel weird. Those would be really nice because she punches or volleyball sets everything and she mm-hmm. does not catch. And I don't love that. In some situations, it's obviously needed for one. I mean, you can't catch every single one, but in this specific, I think it was off of, maybe it was off her free kick. She just could have caught it and she didn't. And it went out for a corner. You don't need to be doing that. You know,
I think find Mike had a similar complaint.
Find a glove sponsor. Let's get some sticky gloves out here.
Yeah.
You know, I would like to see that. I think one goal we've conceded this season is a direct result of a spill from her. I don't know how sticky gloves are allowed to be, but they're selling them to me on Instagram. I can send some links over, Liz, if you need them, to either of you. after that, in the 45th minute, kind of right before halftime, McNeil does actually make a forward run. She gets past Gordon. Well, she gets past Gordon initially, but Connors is the only player on the left for her to kind of interact with or find passes with or do a 1-2 with or anything like that. So I found that to be a little underwhelming. We have Nocello doing a roaming role and we also have Jumona playing a central role. They are definitely opting for the right out of maybe just their natural lean or whatever the case may be. But the fact that our left wing back, our defender on the left, could only link up with our striker. And then ultimately when she got the ball back from that 1-2, Shania Gordon was there to stop her, essentially. Really disappointed me. I feel like we have the ability to do more there. Now, if Carly's making the run forward and Shea gets the ball and McNeil crosses it in and Carly is able to complete that, I mean, that would be a great sequence. Obviously, Shania Gordon's a good player and shut it down. So, you know, that is credit to her. But this is, we have four players who are in the forward part of the pitch. And if McNeil comes forward at all, she doesn't really have help. And so that was another place where I was seeing this kind of, I wish we had more going on over there. And again, if you missed the last two episodes, most of what I've seen from Shea Connors is her work up the left in the A-League. So we know she can do it. I don't know. Maybe she was like, I'm only coming there if you play me as a striker, but I doubt that's the case, but we'll see. I don't know. But yeah, that was pretty much the last thing that happened in the half. It was 0-0.
Yeah. Halftime stats. We had 4 shots with 2 on target. We had 39% possession. And I said that wrong, and I'm just going to keep going. 1 corner, 2 offside, and 1 yellow. So I was a little bit surprised by how little we had the ball. It felt like we were a lot more dominating, but maybe it was just because we were hurting Fort Lauderdale pretty well. We were very much pushing them in a corner when they did have the ball.
Yeah. Most of our possession of the ball was movement. We were moving forward with it, and then we would lose it, but at least we got a shot or like had a chance, whereas a lot of Fort Lauderdale's possession was sitting and unable to move because we were pressing them kind of player to player. Actually, I forgot to transfer that note over from my initial notes. In the first half, we were covering player to player really well. We were not allowing them to find passing lanes because on every single player, we had someone as well. And against a team that maybe has a weaker system like Fort Lauderdale, that gets to work really well because they're only seeing the game from where they are and who they can pass to, as opposed to you know, the kind of passing triangles, or you know, the more high level, well drilled teams that play much more in systems and can work their way out of player to player coverage. Sometimes you just need the basics. Hey, if I stand between you and the ball, you can't get to the ball. So yeah, that was some good work in the first half of the Sun.
Fort Lauderdale had 6 shots, 0 were on target, and they had 61% of the ball. They had 2 corners the whole time. So they did actually have 1 more corner than us. They did not do much with it.
Get Liz Beardsley sticky gloves.
Yes.
Yeah. And our 2 offsides as well, just to round out the halftime talk. We have had periods of the season where we were very frustrated by our offsides because they seem to be our only opportunities at goal. I think, though, having more offsides just shows that we were being very progressive in attacking this game. So I'm okay seeing that, especially, I mean, of course, in hindsight, I know the result, but I am okay with that as long as we're creating enough opportunities. The thing against Carolina is we weren't creating enough opportunities. Now we seem to be creating enough opportunities that we can, quote unquote, waste a few with an offsides call here, a bad shot there, and eventually it'll fall for us to the back of the net anyways.
And for what it's worth, we don't get any more for the next half.
Nice.
Starting the second half, Fort Lauderdale gets a corner. It's the sketchiest we've looked all game. There's some confusion, some chaos in the box, but we kick it out, clear it. We're doing okay. 48th minute, Shay Connors has a great shot on goal. She does some really nice footwork to get past the defenders. The shot is central but low. The keeper does catch it.
Yeah, I don't even see this as a shot, and I was really disappointed with this. I hit the at the bar, because this was essentially a one-on-one with the keeper, and she just slow passes it. She inside of the foot taps, passes it. She is running at speed, so I understand that for one, she doesn't have a lot of decision-making time there, and she is getting closed in by a defender. So if she did, at the time she raises her leg to take the shot, if she did boot through it to the far post, attempting to put pace on it, the defender would have fully blocked it. But that's why I would have liked to have seen a setup touch to just shift it or get the ball maybe just a little bit more in front of her, but not as far as the defender could have blocked it, and then boot it in where she has an opening, or an attempt to dribble around the keeper. The defending player coming in is at full speed and goes for a leg up, sliding across in front of her, just fully trying to make herself as big as possible to block any shot that gets off. And once she is gone, Shay had time to take a shot. So if she had lifted her leg to fake it, or if she had taken an extra touch or attempted to dribble around the keeper, I think all of those would have given her a higher percent opportunity and a chance. And if a striker is one-on-one with the keeper, I want to see them bury it. I know that it's not necessarily a 50-50. The keeper is able to come out. It's not a penalty. The keeper is able to run at you and make themselves much bigger and give you a way smaller angle to shoot at. But this was my most disappointed I was during this match with any of the Sun, is that she opened up this great opportunity by just kind of deflecting the ball correctly off of the defender that challenged her, took a couple steps forward, and had a free rein to kind of do whatever she wanted. And what ended up happening was just kind of a casual pass right into the keeper's hands. And I didn't love that, but, you know, GG go next, I guess.
So from about the 50th minute to the 61st minute, we have shots from Connors, Giamona, and Sid that are all caught by Haley Craig. A couple minutes later, we make some subs. We bring Faith Weber on for Shay Connors.
Yes. Why not both at the same time? Connors underwhelmed me in this game as a striker, not as a player. I think she had a good game if you look at her contributions, her touches. But Faith Weber is a little bit more of a striker. She's a little bit more wanting to get into the box, wanting to open up opportunities forward like that. So I would love to see Connors put in a more supportive role. And Weber play. But also, then you open up the question of who would come out for them. Giamona did great this game. So I don't want to take Giamona out. I don't want to take Nicello out. And then you're talking about the midfield, and I don't want to take Helferty out so far. And Lister has been very solid. So then it's like, well, maybe we do have, you know, kind of our best look up there. But we will have time to figure out in the offseason where exactly Shea can fit, and if we can bring in a striker to kind of replace Weber, because she is on loan and we'll be going back. But give me there's two games left. Give me both of them starting at the same time. Figure it out. I will say, though, in the 66th minute, Weber first touches the ball. It's a pass to Sydney Nicello, and Nicello draws a penalty. So maybe Faith Weber's the GOAT. I don't know. Her first touch on the ball directly leads to a high percent chance that the Sun will score a goal. And as it is, Sid draws the penalty and Weber takes the penalty. Liz, how'd that go?
Converted.
Let's go.
We love it. Great. Yeah, no fluff. A real small run up, kick, score. How it should be.
Great penalty. Great pace on it. Put her boot through it. If keeper went the right way, unlucky, but there's a lot of net and you can kind of put it in many places. The keeper isn't going to be able to go the right way. Ultimately, she went the wrong way anyways. So take notes, Sydney Nicello. I never want to see a missed penalty again. Faith Weber does it right.
73rd minute, we make another sub. We bring Shimkin in for Haugen. And Haugen does her just the best time-wasting power walk to come off the field. It's comical. She's going like really animated with her shoulders. It was very funny, and I love her so much.
It was a really long shot. I remember watching like live and just being like, this is taking some time. But if our shit housing looks like this, then I'm down. That's fine.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 77th minute, Carly Giamona with the late run into the box to absolutely smash it home. McNeil sends a through ball to Helferty on the end line between like the 18 and the 6 yard box, tries to cross it into Jilly Shimkin, who does enough that the ball bounces down to the D, and Carly coming in like a beautiful gazelle to just tap it right in.
Yeah, this is... you know, yoga bonita. This is beautiful football. Carly has been asking for this all day, and she finally gets to convert it. I loved her coming in late and getting that shot. And it's such a great, well-placed, well-paced shot that the keeper literally just stands there. She does not dive. She does not attempt to make a save. There's no chance that she's getting there. So it was just fantastic to see. And overall, especially in the spring, but maybe even all season. I don't know. I haven't rewatched some of the fall games. I won't. But I think it's one of the best games that Giamona has had. So I'm really glad she's awarded with score sheet contribution, getting the goal. And also just overall, the team worked the ball really well. Like you said, McNeil contributed, Helferty contributed, and Shimkin contributed. And also Weber was there. She was being covered off by a defender, but that's what I was talking about earlier. When you have two or three, you know, Shimkin was in the box, Weber was in the box, the goalkeeper's distracted. Where could this ball that Carly's running up to go? Is she trying to loop it over as almost like a cross? Is she trying to get it wide again? Nobody knows what's going to happen. And she ends up taking it direct, which in the rest of this game, she also took them all direct. So I guess they could have predicted that that was going to happen, but, yeah, it was just it was a great like team contribution, and Carly getting the final kick on it was very cool to see. She definitely earned it.
We bring on some more subs. We bring Picorni on for Nicello, Provo on for Helferty, and Sienna Bryan on for McNeil.
Kind of liking all those.
Yeah, they worked out really well. I actually really liked Sienna Bryan for McNeil. She was playing that spot really well. 83rd minute, Faith Weber with a stinging shot. We get a corner. And then in the 84th minute, former U.S. women's national team, Allie Long makes her debut against the Sun in the 84th minute.
They said she was going to play, right? Or she said she was going to play like in the
She
lead
said
up.
She was going to make her debut.
She wasn't wrong.
Yeah, but like the insinuation upon debut is like, I'm going to start at least. Yeah.
Yes. But notably, first World Cup winner to ever play in the Gainbridge Super League. Yay. In the 84th minute of the two last place teams.
I truly don't understand why Fort Lauderdale picked her up, because apparently they don't even have jerseys for her ready. Like jerseys that like, you can get like customized and buy. Like that, you don't have that ready. Like what other point was it to, other than to sell jerseys?
I don't know.
Ridiculous. 85th minute. Chisholm fouls Shania Gordon in the box. It's incredibly soft. And she does go down hella easy, a la Sydney Nocello. And she does convert the PK.
Yes. My note here is give her hell, Taylor, by gently tapping the side of her foot.
Yep.
That is pretty much what happens. In real time, it does look like she gets some of the ball. In slow-mo time, you can see that's not the case. She does kick her a little bit. I think by the rules it's a pen, but like you said, it's pretty soft. In real time, it's definitely more of like she ran out of space herself on the run. Or actually, I think she almost like mistouches the ball, and then she just decided, well, a foot's near me, so I'm gonna flop. And that works to draw a penalty. Like I said, by the rules it probably is one, but like you said, it was pretty soft. I think if she had continued the run out, nobody would have even noticed the contact, which I guess that's why players flop. It's because that works. So, you know, game's gone, I guess.
So at this point, it is 2-1 to us. Last note of the game is really just I really liked that we were not parking the bus in any way. The 90+4, Faith Weber has another shot and damn near almost makes it 3-1.
Yeah. And I really like the composure here from Faith. I have a lot of respect for Faith Weber as a player. Not only is this her first, we talked about this, 6 months as a pro, but she is not fouled, but she's in the box and she has an opportunity to fall down. She is stumbling and she just is a little engine that could and gets right back up and actually gets the shot off. And I really just admire a player that chooses to do that rather than to go down and try and draw a penalty. She wouldn't have got one, I don't think. It was clear that there was not contact. She just kind of stumbles behind the ball. But I would much rather you try and get a goal or almost get a goal. And it was a pretty creative shot too. It was kind of long past the keeper to her right, but it just went wide of the back post. So it's one of those like kind of slow rollers that once it's past the keeper, you could see it going in, but she just didn't get the perfect touch on it. But like I said, it was a great, some great composure and great to get back up on her feet and still take the shot and try and get something out of a play that, you know, looked like it was fizzling out pretty much. Shout out Faith Weber.
And that's game. We win 2-1. We got 2 goals, 20 shots with 7 on target, 46% of the ball, 7 corners, 2 offside, 1 yellow. Fort Lauderdale has 1 goal, 10 shots, 1 on target. It was the PK.
Was that their only big chance too?
I think probably. they had the other 54% of the ball. They had 3 corners and 1 offside.
Yeah.
Takeaways from this match. Flute, it sucks. We're number eight.
I'm exhausted. Please, next season start. But yes, in this dying moment, we have an opportunity to not finish in league alphabetical order. We thought the table has been alphabetical this whole year. It's not.
No, it has been. I also have questions about why they are not a sporting club. Why are they not like Fort Lauderdale Sporting Club? Even though, I mean, that does sound terrible, but so is Fort Lauderdale United. Because they have a soccer ball, they have a soccer, a volleyball.
They have a few, actually.
They do have a few soccer balls, yeah. A volleyball and a flag football team, and now a diving team.
Oh, I see what you, I was like, oh, for real? But no, I see what you're doing.
Yeah.
Well, some of the over the summer they dive, and then during the soccer season they also dive. Well, they are united, so you could theoretically say that all of these different sports teams are united. Not to defend Fort Lauderdale here, but theoretically you could. I don't know. Nottingham Forest added a netball team last year, and they're still Nottingham. They're just Nottingham Forest, but they play netball. So, also, I didn't know what netball was before they did that.
I don't know what that is.
Teams just be doing, it's like handball in the Olympics, but a little bit different. I don't know. Teams just be doing stuff, you know? Does Sporting Jacksonville have other teams? Well, they have the men's team, but other than that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. Yes. My takeaway is that it's not hard to look good against Fort Lauderdale. They're bad. But I did mention this earlier. I gave it up early. We saw an iteration of the system we started to see last week. And so while we were able to benefit more from it against a worse team that doesn't have great success on defense, we are also like building something. And that loss last week was not a terrible loss. We did not get blown out. It was not a failed system. It was just a few individual moments of failure. And in this game, it was a few individual moments of success out of that system. And there's still some iterations to do on it. But again, as we look forwards to the last two games of the season and then into next year, where some of these players will be coming back, I would hope maybe about half of our current starting lineup is like already signed on for this year into next. And then we improve a few key positions with this system in mind. We could look very strong, in my opinion. Not to get ahead of myself. We have a huge uphill battle to build this team into something successful. So I'm not. It's not the predictions game, okay? I'm not saying crazy outlandish things. But I do like how this is developing and iterating. And it gives me confidence a little bit that Coach Schulte Brown is not trash. She is able to adapt a little bit. I think she would be gone already if we could clearly see that she was a failure. I think maybe the ownership knows they got the transfers wrong or just didn't do enough in terms of building the roster this year. And I am willing to see what she can do. These last two games definitely could make a difference, in my opinion on that. You know, if we somehow fall out of doing this system or she tries something else that's new and it doesn't work, you know, maybe I'll have a different feeling as we go like into the actual off season. But at least so far, we've got new players that have directly contributed, specifically with Hailfordy and Connors. And they are like have been integrated in immediately, and they've made our existing players look better. I think Giamona looks better. I think Weber has looked better in the system. And even Nicello this game had a better game than the previous one, although she was not super contributive. She was not on the score sheet or anything, but like overall, I like what I see. So good things are happening.
Not we'll contributive. She got a PK for us.
Oh, true. She did. Yeah, she did. Well, that's still
that's pretty contributing.
Is drawing us PK on the score.
Yes. Sheet? Yes.
Well, she is the most fouled player in the league. Hashtag my goat, you know. So yes, that is overall my kind of take on okay, we got something going here. Would this work against theoretically Dallas next week? I don't know. Did it work against Carolina? No, but we also started a different player up top against Carolina. You know, maybe there's a few pieces to move around and it does work against a good team. I don't know, but yes, I liked what I saw. So we'll put a cap on our game recap there. And I just wanted to share, I've been trying to integrate a little bit more around the league because I do believe in building the league up a little bit. I don't think that all of us have to become super league ultras and we have to go on the NWSL subreddit and defend our league and we have to fight about it or anything like that. Although again, if anyone wants to fight me in the YouTube comments, I'm always down. Gainbridge did a kind of mini pitch skills challenge activation kind of promotional tent at the Miami F1 Grand Prix. And they actually had players down there, and Jordan Lister was one of the players that went down there. And it was just like a mini pitch with some cones set up, and they had presumably mostly kids run through and do a little skills challenge and meet the players. And I think these kinds of things are good for the league. I'm glad that Gainbridge signed on as our title sponsor and is backing that up with actually putting, I mean, I don't care if one player goes to the Indy 500, but the fact that the company has put their name so willingly out there in women's sports. I mean, they have Caitlin Clark signed kind of as an ambassador. She's in their commercials. That they are like backing up the fact that they're putting money into this and then doing things at major international and national events that have a lot of attention for people that might not necessarily know about it. I think all these are good things, but I will say the caveat on that is that this national recognition for the Super League is only for the league. No one met Jordan Lisro at that event and is going to buy a Sun ticket, I think. And I think it doesn't help the individual clubs. I will say this is a pattern with USL, the head office or front office, right over there. It doesn't necessarily do what's best for the clubs. They do what's best for the corporate entity, the league ownership, and the clubs don't get a lot of help. So it's still sink or swim for the individual clubs. Obviously, I hope they all swim and I hope we add more. But I do think at the same time as saying that and criticizing the front office, they did a good deal with Gainbridge. I think Gainbridge has done a few of these activation sponsorship things, and I like to see it. And I like that Jordan Lister got to go to the IndyCar and the NASCAR and the F1 now. She's been to more like racing than I have, and I'm a racing fan. So, but yeah, so that was kind of cool to see. And overall, here is your look around the league as we go into the last two games of the season. I'll just give you a quick rundown, and then we will talk contextually kind of about Dallas and us as our next game. So Jacksonville is up top, and they have a bit of a margin now. They're on 50 points, and Lexington is on 47. So Jacksonville was able to get that last game as a win and go those 3 points ahead. Carolina, again, is locked in, is locked in with 45 points in third. And like I said, I don't see them winning the Shield or getting the home game. They're 5 points off the top, and I think Lexington is just very good. So I'm not sure Carolina will get those points on them, but if they did, they would move into second. I really don't think they're catching Jackson the Shield. The next three teams are who are in contention for playoffs still. Dallas Trinity on 34 points, DC Power on 33, and Spokane Zephyr on 33. Super tight in there, very competitive. And maybe we can play spoiler. That would be cool. Brooklyn, then Tampa Bay Sun, then Fort Lauderdale United. That's right, baby. We're off the bottom. Brooklyn's on 26 points. We are on 24. Fort Lauderdale's on 23. Suck it. I hope we don't lose in our next two games and they win. So yes, Brooklyn got mathematically eliminated this past week. But we knew they were going to be eliminated a while ago. So it's really Dallas, DC, and Spokane that are in that fight. And Dallas has a pretty rough looking goal differential. They're on negative 10, where DC is on positive 4 and Spokane is on positive 1. So if it comes to tied points, you know, say Dallas lose and DC draw a game, DC gets the spot. It is goal differential first, tiebreaker, then head to head. So that will be very interesting to see play out. And we directly contribute to that in our next game, our next home game coming up this Saturday against Dallas.
That was a good JD handoff. Won't be at because he hates women.
Whoa. Yeah, I don't actually have a defense for that. I am seeing a girl band in 3 weeks, but I'm going to see a boy band this time. So
yeah, see, doesn't count.
Yeah, I guess all my work on the podcast doesn't mean anything.
Nope. yeah, Dallas might kill us to get that 3 points. I wouldn't blame them, quite frankly. They are truly fighting for their lives with that negative 10 goal differential. That is rough. And to put that in context, the next worst is us at negative 16.
Yeah. And can you say
even Brooklyn only has negative 7?
Can you say who has the worst for me?
Oh, it is Fort Lauderdale with negative 25.
You love to hear it.
Yeah.
Long may that continue, hopefully.
Yes. So worst comes to worst, even if they tie, we'll still be above them. And that's all that matters.
Love that.
So going off of last week's notes for Dallas's game against DC, they were out two players, Wayne Bellotta, a midfielder, and Heather Stainbrook, another midfielder. They haven't been super active in goal scoring, but they have been key parts of the team. So that might have been why they only drew DC, although DC has been doing pretty well. Two other key players for Dallas are, of course, Amber Wisner. She is number four in the league for passes. She also had like a ridiculous amount of I think crosses in or something like that. Not enough that I wrote it down, but it was still like, oh, they're up there. Okay. And Chioma Ubagagu is number five in chances created. Both very key players to Dallas. In addition to, they also have Jasmine Hamid now. Which it's kind of funny. Now when you look up their stats, Jasmine Hamid is at the top of like everything, even though she did all of it at Fort Lauderdale. So like she's tied now for like most goals on Dallas with four, because the next person also only has four. It's very amusing.
Yes.
So make sure you are going to Big Jim this Saturday.
Yeah,
it is fan appreciation night. They're giving away towels at the end.
Give me one.
I'm gonna try.
Well, maybe I don't deserve anything.
Well, maybe you should message Soleil again.
I don't think Soleil is gonna do anything for me if I can't make it to the game.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's fine. I did notice that at the last game, Fort Lauderdale. At the Fort Lauderdale game, they were doing 30% off everything in the merch store. I overheard an announcement that like the PA announcer made during the game. And that'd be cool. You know, so if we're doing any cool deals for fan appreciation night, text me. I'll be at a White Sox game at the same time. So, but you know, let me know. I'll send you some money for that. Yeah, it'll be a fun time. It looks like. I'm very sad that I won't be there, but, you know, I hope that everyone that goes has a good final home game of the season. See this team off in the best way we can. We know we've been out of it for a while. They're out there giving it their all. And I, even after the Carolina game, I think there was a lot better of a mood between, you know, the heat wave and the fans overall and the team of just like, hey, we see the effort that you're putting in. You know, the kind of mistakes over the course of the season, what are we going to do about it? We can't do anything about it now. So give them good atmosphere, give them hell. And hopefully, like I said, it'd be fun to play spoiler for Dallas. I don't like a team more than Dallas out of Dallas, DC, and Spokane. So I'm not like, oh, I'd really love to see DC go through or anything.
I'd kind of like to see DC go through.
I don't know. I
think it'd be really funny if Paige got two rings in 2 years.
That actually, you know what? Maybe she is like the most notable. She's the only player that left us that starts that's not Riley, because she was gone so early.
Yeah.
But Paige won the championship and left. But she's the only player that like won the championship and left and is still in the Super League, right? Everyone else of ours, we got Iceland first division, we have NWSL. They're all over the place, but they're not in the Super League. So yeah, maybe I am kind of a Paige fan for that. So maybe I do kind of want to spoil Dallas's chances a little bit. But yeah, it's kind of fun knowing that we are involved in a way and can help contribute to the decision when the last games are played out. So we'll see.
And there's always still, I feel like we have the rivalry with Fort Lauderdale, but I still feel like there is a rivalry with Dallas because they were our very first match and it ended in a draw. So, and they were also, I think last year they were also like our very last match. It was a weird like beginning and end thing.
I mean,
but I feel like we've always kind of had a target on Dallas.
I mean, Jasmine needs there too, and you don't you don't suddenly wash off Fort Lauderdale stench just because you transferred teams. So, you know, she's not going to be happy to play us, I think, and I would love to let her know that we're not happy to see her again. I'm not saying, I'm not advocating for violence. I'm just saying, you know.
Oh no, you're going to hear me scream, Jasmine, what's it like to be on a better team?
She's going to be like, it's actually really nice. Thank you. She'll come over and thank you after the game for that one.
All right. I want to say that about wraps it up. Make sure that you are following us on RBLR Sports, where you can see our beautiful faces on YouTube. Also kittens. You can see one kitten ear at the moment.
She's been here the whole time.
In a paw. I love when they extend all their toe beans.
Yeah.
Also follow us at RBLR at Sun FC in all of the places. Eureka will update you on things like when we get eliminated, which, you know, it was like 2 weeks ago. But if you were following the RBLR Sun Blue Sky, you would have known almost instantaneously after the game.
Yes. Oh, I realized we didn't do score predictions for Dallas. Liz, quick, what do you got?
1-1.
1-1 draw. That's also what Eureka said. I'm going to say.
Oh, I did not see. I didn't see his, honest and truly.
It's in the stream chat. I'm going to say a 2-2 draw. I think it's going to be, I almost said a goal fest. I don't know if four goals is a goal fest, but it'll be slightly more than average goals. And I think one's going to be after the 85th minute. I think there's going to be a late either equalizer. Well, an equalizer either way. I hope it's a. It's not a good thing if we equalize because we were behind. So I'm not going to say I hope it's anything, but I believe that is what will happen. It'll be a late goal. One of the teams will be pushing, and it'll be 2-2. That's my thoughts.
Oh yeah, we need James to total up, start totaling up everybody's points.
I have 3. I can tell you right now. James, when you hear this, you can just write down 3 for me, bud. Appreciate you. And that's 3 correct predictions, not one correct score. Just 3 correct, like, what's the results?
Yeah. Outcome.
Guy on a soccer podcast. What's the word for, like, the score of a game?
All right. Hopefully I will see you at Big Gym on Saturday. Come say hi. Come hang out in the supporter section. We're going to have a fun old time.
Yes.
All right. Adios. Bye.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.